and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a question for the guest today, please give me a call at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. Today, I have two people in the studio with me. I have Chief Ron Dupuy of the Fairbanks Police Department. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
And I have Teal Soden. She is the communications director. How you doing, Teal? Is one of your many, many titles, anyway. How you doing, Teal?
Good, thank you.
And then calling in from Seattle, Paul Butler. How you doing, sir?
Hey, it is so good to be on the radio with you. Thank you for having
me. You are coming up to Fairbanks next Tuesday, Paul, and you're putting on a motivational presentation speech at the Herring Auditorium.
I am so excited to be coming to Fairbanks. I was up there at the end of last year. Chief Dupuy hosted me with a presentation that was more regional, but then he developed this vision with his staff to bring me back and talk directly to the members of that police department, their families that support them from home. But he also had it, and this is what I love, is the vision to bring in community members who are such great supporters and let them see kind of what we all train on and talk about and believe in. So I am extremely excited to be coming to Fairbanks.
Now, tickets are available on Eventbrite. Anyone for 17 and under, it's free. But all proceeds from this go towards the Special Olympics of the Tanana Valley. So your costs of transportation and everything are being covered by the City Police Department of Fairbanks here. And really excited about what you do and what you bring. Let's look at your background. You were telling me about it. You're from the Myrtle Beach area, South Carolina. What brought you into law enforcement?
Well, I am right outside of Myrtle Beach. I still live there, a little town called Aynor, South Carolina, about 30 miles inland from Myrtle Beach, where my mom and dad had a farm out there. They raised corn and kids all their lives. I have three brothers and a sister, and we live on Butler Road. I mean, it's just like you see on TV. My sister lives next door to me. My brother lives across the farm. But we worked on that farm every day. And some of the principles we learned about hard work and teamwork and leadership are what made me a success in my law enforcement career. My daddy loved the law. He loved, he respected it tremendously, taught us a healthy respect for it. And when I got into law enforcement, I thought that'd be something to make him proud, make my family proud. But I found out that it was something that really made a difference in this world, using his principles, his training for me as a child, to help make a difference in our society and in our community. So that's what we're going to focus on, is how to do it for every person in that room, wherever they are, at work and at home. We're going to give them a chance to learn and grow and be a leader.
Good for you. And how long have you been in law enforcement now? Or how long were you in law enforcement, rather?
I retired after 27 years. I retired about 6 years ago, but I did 27 years in law enforcement, three different agencies. But my final 15 years, I was a administrator, chief deputy, second in command for our Horry County Sheriff's Office, which has about 400 on staff.
And as you were telling me, at that time, you know, for 15 years, you did the things that the sheriff did not want to do. Hence, you went to every Cub Scout, Kiwanis group, and start speaking to them about what you're doing, what the sheriff and what your police department's doing there.
Well, there is no doubt. One of the major questions I get asked when I finish speaking is, how do I do what you do? How do I become a speaker? How does someone become a public speaker? And I said, the first thing you have to do is get to speak it. Every opportunity you have. You have to think about your story. You have to think about what the point of the story is, what's the moral of the story. And then in some entertaining and engaging way, you have to be able to take people on the journey that you were on, but somehow get them to join you and see themselves along the way, to see their own situation or their own story. Well, that became, my focus was, how do I connect with these people, not just tell them what I think they want to hear, but how do I kind of get inside of their minds and hearts and let them tell their own story? And so it is true, I was blessed. My sheriff did not want to speak a lot, so I went to a lot of different speaking opportunities, and I took every one of them and treated it like it was a chance to make a difference. And that's what we'll do in Fairbanks next week.
So you're up here next Tuesday. What is your presentation focus on?
Well, the very first thing I like to talk about is how every individual can find their footing in this world. I say that most of us are 100% into our plans. Everybody's usually a pretty good planner, but that your plans can't be more important than your purpose. Your plans are your what. It's the things that you want to do in life, your hopes, your dreams, but your purpose is your why. So if you don't get the promotion that you hoped for, or you don't get the job of your dream, well, you still have a why. Most of us go to work to support our families, feed our families, take care of our families. Well, even if you don't get the job of your dreams or the promotion of your dreams, you can still fall back on that purpose, which is care for my family and be there for them. So it's just drawing those little lines in their mind that lets them know that whether things are going really well or going really bad in life, that it won't stay that way forever. And to be a leader who is successful and comes out on the other end of the storm, you've got to be able to keep walking forward at the same pace. And we're going to address that with them, kind of help them give those tools to use whenever their situation turns bad or gets particularly good.
You presented to the FBI Academy. Could you tell us about that?
Well, that was a big break for me, hitting on the national or international level. I attended the FBI National Academy in Quantico, Virginia. Chief Doopie out of Fairbanks has done so. I mean, that's an incredibly prestigious school, executive level, leadership school, and it takes a huge commitment from your department, from your agency, your community to make it work. But they took about 250 law enforcement executives from around the world, all 50 states and 29 countries represented in my class, and they chose a class speaker. And they selected me to be their class speaker that day in 2005. Only one person chosen out of the 250, and I was the first ever from South Carolina chosen. So it kind of got a little more interest. The only other speaker today on the stage was then Director Robert Mueller. And he liked the speech so much that he asked me afterward, could he use excerpts of my speech in his future speeches? And so for the next 7 years, the leader of law enforcement in the free world kind of gave a shout out to Paul Butler in Horry County, South Carolina. And that really moved the needle, where people started saying, well, we need to learn more about him. And if I moved the director, they thought, well, why can't he come and speak for us? And thereby business was born.
There you go. How many days of the year are you out on the road now?
Well, now that is a pretty wild schedule. I never knew how many opportunities there were. I didn't know what a big difference there was to make in the world. I just finished up my taxes, so I happen to know these numbers. Last year I did 111 events around the globe. So this year I've already spoken in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Toronto, Canada. I'm scheduled next month for Kampala, Uganda in Africa. So it has some international appeal with what we're doing. I love that they're bringing it right there to downtown Fairbanks for everyone to hear the same message. A lot of people are having to travel around the globe to hear. But with 111 events, I probably did about 250 days on the road last year. But I really enjoy it. I love to travel. I love the places I go, the things I see. And most importantly, I love the people I meet.
I would think so. Good for you. You know, if you get to do something you really love, you're going to, usually the person will do it well. And
absolutely.
And when you're doing 100 plus events a year, you're committed to that. total commitment, so good for you. Glad to hear that. Right now what we're going to do, Paul, is we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yep, and Fairbanks, if you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Supply Company on Van Horn Road. The only Alaska-owned full-line wholesale distributor of plumbing, heating, industrial piping, waterworks, and mining products for over 30 years. Sure, they're big enough to handle the supply needs of pipelines and gold mines, but they're personable enough to help you with your needs as well. Frontier Supply Company, for all of your plumbing and heating needs on Van Horn Road, online at frontiersupply.com. That's Frontier Supply Company.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Ricky Colapietro with the Valdez Fishing Report with an update on fishing in Valdez. Aaron Cruz of Wasilla, Alaska reeled in a 147.2-pound halibut June 2nd to take the lead in the Valdez Halibut Derby. Michael Simmons of North Pole, Alaska is in second place overall with a 120.6-pound halibut reeled in on June 1st, and Jason Waller of North Pole is currently in third place overall with a 101.6-pound halibut he reeled in on June 3rd. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, halibut fishing is off to a slow start, but anglers are producing consistent catches near the entrances into Prince William Sound, including Montague Strait, Hinchinbrook Entrance, Strawberry Channel, Orca Inlet, and other passages. Additionally, several halibut have been caught this spring in shallow water 60 to 90 feet in various bays throughout Prince William Sound. Aaron Cruz of Wasilla, Alaska was fishing in Valdez with a purpose, to catch a derby-worthy fish. When asked about her day, she responded,
"Oh, it was amazing. Like, I was going for a derby fish, and I was catching some good-sized ones, kept throwing them back, and then I was burnt out for the day. I was like, okay, this is the last one. Threw my stuff in, let it hit the bottom, reeled up three times, and then the fish started running. And it actually only took me about 20 minutes to get her in."
Be sure to stop into the Valdez Prospector's new location on Egan Drive, right across from the museum, for everything you need for fishing in Prince William Sound. Licenses, bait, derby tickets, and the best selection of lures and tackle to help you catch the derby winner. Stop into the Valdez Prospector on Egan Drive for everything for your fishing adventures.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Chance of isolated showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 63. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for isolated storms. Lows level off around 44. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 61. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Paul Butler calling in from Seattle. I have Chief Ron Dupuy here in the studio with me, and Teal Soden. Paul, how you doing, sir?
I am fantastic. Just getting all packed up, geared up, and ready to go for Fairbanks.
We've got about another 12 minutes with you on the air here before you got to take off. I really appreciate your time and commitment to being able to get on the air with me.
Oh, I'm excited about that. It's an honor. I appreciate all y'all are doing in Fairbanks to put them on the map across the world. So you all are doing the right thing.
Let's talk about teamwork. You really stress that, I believe.
Absolutely.
Go through what you believe teamwork means and why it's important, and how, when it's implemented correctly, it's the best process.
Well, on highly performing teams, on highly functioning teams, you don't have near as many individuals. Our focus these days, especially in this society, seems to be how do we become individual standouts at everything, whether it's on a football team or whether it's on a police department. But a true team isn't about individual standouts. It's about incredibly talented people who use their skills to raise the level of professionalism or performance of others around them. So this is what I say about your citizens who are out there listening. if whether they are working at a McDonald's or whether they have a factory going or whether they're in the entertainment business or the hospitality business or the oil business, the team is 100% the same responsibility. And that is, how do I take all my best players and have them become leaders among the players who need to elevate their game a little bit? We rely way too much on leadership, positional leadership by rank. We rely too much on them to change the game for everyone around us, but they don't get the time with the line-level players like our coworkers do. So I focus on everyone not just being a good teammate, but everyone being a leader where they stand, and everyone adopting someone else's struggle and helping them lighten that burden a little bit. So we can make a huge difference in a place like Fairbanks if everybody kind of leans in together.
Very true, very true. What brought you into law enforcement in the beginning?
Well, I have to be honest, I'd never really considered law enforcement. I have a brother named Robert who was had joined the South Carolina Highway Patrol. And he was the proudest trooper in South Carolina. I mean, one of those who really drank the Kool-Aid. I mean, he believed if he wrote you a ticket, he was saving your life. No bother thanking him, right? Like, it was on him. And he became that guy who adored the job. Well, he's the one who approached me and said, you should do this job. You would love it. And I said, what is it you like about it? He said, well, first of all, they give me a car and a gas pump. And they match my uniforms for me. You don't have to do your own clothes. He said, and they pay me. This was the part that got my attention. He said, they pay me to talk to people. Now, that's how he viewed it, is I'm paid to talk to people. And I said, well, what are you talking to them about? And he asked an incredible question. He said, have you ever been riding down the road at night and you've seen a car pulled over with the flashers on and the trunk up and wondered what they're doing? I said, absolutely. I pass them all the time and wonder what they're doing. He said, well, in this job, they pay me to pull over and say, hey, what are you doing? Now, what he didn't know is it would be the very next line that caused me to want to be a police officer. He said, whether they are changing a tire or burying a body in the woods, they need to deal with me. Now, that is the expectation that it used to be in law enforcement, that if you need your tire changed, I'm your guy. And if you're out there being a homicidal maniac, I'm your guy for that, too. And that is what we have to kind of get back to, is realizing that whenever you would take on that uniform, whenever you join a team, you get to take all aspects of the team on. And we have too many people today who say, well, I'd love to change tires, but I don't want to deal with homicidal maniacs. That's scary. Someone should call 911 for that. And then you got way too many people who only want to deal with homicidal maniacs and forget that the majority of us really need someone to help with changing a tire. True law enforcement officers are people who do whatever the public needs done. And that means I will change your tire and I'll track down your homicidal maniac. I'll do either one. And I've got to be good at it. And the only way I can be good at everything is to surround myself with people who care about everyone. That's the key to success on a team.
When you were chosen to be the number two person for the sheriff of the county, why did he choose you?
Well, I have to say, my job before I was second in command of a 400-person agency is I was a sergeant, so that's a line-level leader in community policing. There are a lot of layers in a 400-person agency between sergeant and second in command. And so I promise you it was not my vast work experience. It was not my incredible resume, and I promise it wasn't about all my educational accolades. You can have more degrees than a thermometer, we say in the South. But that doesn't make you a leader. It's always about the heart of a servant. And my heart has been right to serve others, and my attitude has always been positive. If you want to look at two things that will qualify you to be in positions that your resume will not qualify you to do, two things that will put you in positions and at tables where your resume can't qualify you, it is bringing that positive attitude in everything you do. And you have got to care more than anyone else at the table about everyone else at the table. Those two things are what make a leader. And my boss had all the experience. He didn't need someone with incredible experience. What he needed was someone who lived it every day and would get that team excited about helping others the way I like to help. So that I think that was kind of what separated me from the crowd.
How long does it take you to start really getting on the national circuit as a motivational speaker?
Well, now that is a slow process. I do think that's funny that a lot of folks do come to me and say, hey, how do I do what you're doing? I always think, well, you should have started about 10 years ago, right? You have to really establish yourself. It's just like anything else in the world. To be the number one surgeon in the world, you can't do it the first surgery that you perform, right? You have to develop a reputation of being someone who can deliver. And what I did is I took those small opportunities, or what seemed small at the time. I do say it this way, there are no small opportunities, only big opportunities that you look at as too small. And I was really good. It didn't matter to me if I was speaking to 5 people or 500. My job is to make a difference with the ones who are there. Well, in that crowd, someone is sitting and saying, someone else needs to hear this message, and they carry the message for you. Word of mouth is the only advertising that a speaker has that matters. So no matter how great my social media is, no matter how awesome my flyer is, what really is going to make a difference is the people who sit in that audience hear me talk, know that I'm genuine, know that I'm authentic, know that I care about them, and they can use what I tell them to go make a difference with someone else. That is what will create the brand for you. So it's always about being on that stage and being really good when you get that opportunity. No matter how many are in the audience, that doesn't matter. The stage is always the same size.
When you come up to Fairbanks, where do you go after that?
I'm going to take a little trip down to Anchorage. I'm going to speak down there for Anchorage PD. While I'm in the area, they like for me to do an add-on. So they don't like to miss me to do that. But now when I finish in Alaska, I have several more on the schedule for me. My website is out there for people who'd like to look. It's paul-butler.com, paul-butler.com. And it kind of has everything listed where I go over the next several months. But I promise you, this year I'm going to be speaking from Connecticut to California, Seattle to San Diego, and Maine to Miami. My job is to cover all of what you all call the lesser 48.
You're getting to know us well.
Let me tell you, I love the culture up there because you all are still the toughest people in our nation. It's not just the last frontier. You all are the last pioneers. Every time I go and see how you have to make it work and how you have to keep moving forward, it makes me super proud of the patriots in this nation that are still out there keeping us strong.
There's two types of people in the world, Paul. There's us Fairbanksons, and then there's everyone else.
I would buy that T-shirt.
I know. Well, let's. We got about a minute left with you. You're going to be up here next Tuesday. Doors open at 4:30. The presentation starts at 5:30. It's free for anyone under 17. There will be food trucks in the parking lot there for people who want to come in with food. All revenue that's derived from this program goes to the Special Olympics of the Tanana Valley. And you can get tickets on Eventbrite or probably at the door, I would think.
Just on Eventbrite.
Oh, just on Eventbrite. Yeah. You see, that's why I have upper management in the studio here with me, Paul. That way I can be corrected upon looking at her with a quizzical look like, am I correct here or not? She said, nope, David, here we go. So.
Well, Mr. David, Miss Teal keeps me straight like that too. She's one of those gold nuggets you all have found up there in Fairbanks.
That she is. Paul, greatly appreciate the time that you spent with us to talk about the event that you're going to be up here. Godspeed on your travels, and we will see you up here next Tuesday.
I'm excited. Can't wait to meet, see you all, and I can't wait to meet everybody.
Oops, sorry about that. That's our bumper music with a minute out, but, you know, I don't do this as a profession.
That's fine. You all are fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Paul. You have a great day. Bye. And Fairbanks, we'll be back after some Guns N' Roses bumper music. So that was obviously done by Melissa. She's more into the hard rock. Then we're going to go to Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Former President Trump has arrived at a Miami, Florida federal courtroom where he's facing 37 criminal charges stemming from sensitive government documents found at his Mar-a-Lago resort.
Miami city officials say they anticipate no major problems, but they have plans in place that they can deploy incrementally depending on how large protests outside the courthouse become.
Fox's Jonathan Seri outside the courthouse in Miami. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says prices for goods along the East Coast may rise as truckers have to take alternate routes in Pennsylvania following the collapse of a section of Interstate 95 after a tanker truck fire.
They're going to do the best they can given this situation, but obviously it is not just an inconvenience, it is a cost.
Investigation into that cause of the crash and road collapse is now underway. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports in May of 2022, a series of small earthquakes rumbled near Mount Edgecumbe. Geophysicists think those earthquakes were due to the ground around Mount Edgecumbe lifting slightly because the magma underneath it is pushing towards the surface. Last week, an international research team, including scientists with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute, were on Khrushchev Island. "We're down here to do some gas measurements," said Claire Puleo, PhD volcanology student. "So we're looking for diffuse CO2. Which is really low levels of CO2, and we're measuring kind of all over the island as well as on Mount Edgecumbe summit itself. The goal is to figure out what might be going on in the subsurface of the volcano." The team is collecting samples that will be sent off for a carbon isotope analysis, which will be able to tell them the source of the CO2. It's all in response to that activity that we noticed about a year ago that kind of pointed to some inflation and seismicity that began in about 2018, Puleo said.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem, and they're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay, well done.
Sure, everybody grew up loving the Beatles, but Fairbanks Stump Grinders reminds you if you've got spruce trees in your yard, you probably wish they were all dead. The insects, of course, not the band. Beetles can infest your spruce trees and kill them from the inside out. But if caught early, they can kill all of the beetles, not just half of them. Again, we're talking about the insects, people. And they can help sick trees of all kinds, not just spruce. So call the tree doctors at Fairbanks Stump Grinders and get rid of the beetles for good. Even Ringo. I mean, if you're into naming spruce beetles, Fairbanks Stump Grinders, the tree doctors.
Lawyers often promise superior skills or care when litigating personal injury cases, but today, clients are also looking for value from their lawyer. At Jason Wiener & Associates, we recognize that some cases are easier than others. 33% is not always an equitable fee. We will design a contingency fee retainer that reflects the difficulty of your case. Jason Wiener & Associates will fight for you and help guide you through the personal injury claim process without charging you an arm and a leg. Call 907-452-5196 for a free personal injury consultation today.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I now have Chief Ron Dupuy in the studio with me and Teal Soden. How you two doing?
Good.
Good.
Chief, what made you decide to become a police officer? Well, you know, we talked about that a little bit with Paul, but what brought you into the service?
Sure. Actually, I really wanted to get into the fish and wildlife side back when I was a teenager. I thought it would be fun to, you know, fly in planes and ride in boats. And it wasn't until I got to the academy and saw what, you know, regular officers do that really inspired me to come and join the blue side.
And you're from Fairbanks at that time anyway.
I was, yep, born and raised here. I started at, just out of high school. I was working for the state troopers as a fish and wildlife aide, as a civilian that helped out the wildlife troopers, and that's really what drove me towards a law enforcement career. Initially focused on wildlife, and then once I put myself through the academy in Sitka, I decided I wanted to do the blue shirt route.
And how long have you been with the Fairbanks Police Department now?
Since 2005, 18 years.
And how long have you been chief?
Almost 3 years now.
And one of the first things I asked you when I first met you in the budget presentation, what was the first things I asked you?
What do we need?
that and if you retired and left today, do you have a number two? Is there internal people ready to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you need? And what then I said, and what are we doing? Teal, how long have you been with the city of Fairbanks? And you were with the police side, then you were with Jim Matherly, and then back to the police side. How long have you been with the city of Fairbanks, sir?
So I've been with the city for 13 years. I worked the first six at the police department and then went over to the mayor's office.
Public information officer, outreach.
Yeah, I started in the admin office just helping out with the chief and the admin lieutenant, the deputy chief, and the admin assistant. And then I did data management for several years before going over to the mayor's office. And then I came back to the police department less than a year ago. And I ever since I started working there, I really had a lot of respect for what police officers go through, what the hard work that they do. I think that unfortunately they get a bad rap based off of, you know, some bad stuff that happens down in the States, but we have a really solid department with a lot of really solid people. When I say solid, I'm talking about the people. We have mm-hmm. really great officers and great supervisors, and you know, if I can help get their message out there that they're working really hard and they deserve our appreciation, then I'm doing my job, and that's what I love to do.
You know, I always look at the police department and the fire department. They don't have a job. They've answered a calling. You know, this is, they're invested. You know, it's not a normal profession. And you have to, as a police officer, many times you're looking at the end of a long issue of what's happened with a person, and you're it. You're that person that's there, no matter what's happened before. And the training of every different type of scenario that can happen is overwhelming at times, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's super intense. All of the situations that they have to be prepared for, the stuff that they have to deal with. That's why I'm happy to work there, but I could never be a police officer. I don't have the patience for it.
Either do I. But everyone knows that about me. So what the heck. Chief, 17, 18 years on the force. You ever think that you'd be chief?
No.
I never thought I'd be a mayor, so what the heck, I never thought I'd be on the radio, but all of a sudden there you are.
Yeah, you get to a certain point in your career and you look around at what's going on with the department, and as you go up the ranks, you're trying to make a difference within the agency, within the department, and mm-hmm. You got to a point where it's just like, hey, it's that time. I can step up and do this, or, you know, we can continue with somebody else. And I just felt like it was my time to step up and lead the department.
You know, when I asked you that one question, you know, if you retired tomorrow or went some other place, do you have someone in the Fairbanks Police Department take over? The reason why I asked that is there was something I noticed. I as a city council member, I saw three different police chiefs, and every time someone was brought from outside, it just didn't go well. They didn't know Fairbanks. They did not know Fairbanks. They did not know the inner workings, hidden mechanisms. You know, we're 356 miles from the nearest town if you drive. 3.5 hours if you fly. And unless you've been through the trenches with your brethren, you're not bonded with them. So I just always think that the internal rising of police officers for leadership is important. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
It's Rick.
Hello, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let me tell you, I got pulled over a couple weeks ago by a city cop, city policeman, and I thought, you know, it was early in the morning. I'm going to work. It had to have been like 4:45. I don't know. And I tell you, we were laughing. The guy pointed out, you know, hey, I don't want you to get in trouble because I was driving my daughter's van and I didn't have her. I don't know where her registration is, you know. My daughter's got kids. It's a mess. And I'm looking everywhere. He just was, you know, he was more helpful than a pain in the side. And when I got to work, I was a couple minutes late, but at least I laughed. And throughout the day, I was thinking, I wish I would have got his name just so I could call it in and say how much, you know, he made my day good. It wasn't bad. So I just wanted to point that out. I've had bad incidents. And that wasn't one of them. And it was a city officer. And like I said, it's like 4:30 in the morning, 4:45. A real good guy. So I just had to call and tell you guys that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, Rick. You take care, buddy. Good hearing from you again.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Yeah, it's interesting. You have the old philosophy. You don't want to see a police officer until you need to see a police officer. And then you really want to see a police officer. And you want to see a police officer now. Sort of like an ambulance. You never want to see an ambulance until you need the ambulance and you want it now. Oh, goodness. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Help! My computer is acting up and I don't know what to do.
Don't worry. McGraw IT Services to the rescue. We're certified experts who can handle any computer challenge.
Oh, thank goodness. I need virus removal, data recovery, QuickBooks fixed, network fixed, hardware upgrades. You can fix all that?
Absolutely. We offer fast, friendly, and cost-effective solutions. On-site or remote assistance.
It's getting worse!
Don't panic. McGraw IT will save the day.
What about the cost?
We're competitively priced. Get 10% off your first service.
Thank you. You are my hero.
McGraw IT Services. Making computers work for you.
Hey Fairbanks, June is DeWalt month at Denali Industrial Supply with DeWalt products on sale all month long. This is the biggest DeWalt sale of the year, featuring DeWalt Bear tools, kits, batteries, and more. And mark your calendar for DeWalt Demo Day on Wednesday, June 14th from 10 to 2 and free lunch served 11 to 1. DeWalt factory reps will be there to demo the newest tools and answer your questions. Don't miss it.
Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Look for the big red roof.
It's Derby season, which means it's time to head to Valdez and fish. Listen to KFAR Radio Monday through Saturday at 6:20, 7:20, or 11:15 a.m. for the Valdez Fishing Report. You'll get updates on the current standings, along with the latest tips, hotspots, techniques, and the stories from the anglers in Valdez. The Valdez Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by Century Hardware and Frontier Supply. The Valdez Fishing Report on News Talk for the Interior, KFAR 97.5 FM and 660 a.m.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy today with a chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 63. Southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. overcast skies. Tonight, chance for isolated storms, lows around 44. High of 61. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. That's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Police Chief Ron Dupuy and Public Information Officer Teal Soden in the studio with me. What goes into putting on an event like this, Teal, next Tuesday? What goes into that production?
Well, it's the first time we've done it, so we're winging it. But
you're winging it well.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with just really believing in the event. And I was fortunate enough to see Paul when he came in last year, and he really has a powerful message that we believe in, and that's why it's a little bit easier to go through the process of putting on this event. And you know, one of those, with some of the stuff that he said really stayed with me, and there are things that I think about even today. I was thinking and telling the chief, one of the things that Paul says is, when plans fall apart, you fall back on your purpose. And that's something that he really honed in on during his training. And it's something that I think everybody can benefit from hearing. And so just believing in the event, first of all, that it's a good thing for the audience that's coming in, makes it a little bit easier. But then just kind of planning with the, you know, we have great planners in our department, and Captain Nate Werner being one of them. And he's got a lot of vision. And this is also part of his vision, bringing Paul up here. So we basically have just been promoting it on social media. Like Paul said, word of mouth is a powerful thing. So if we can tell people the message that we've heard from him and how it's helped us, I think that'll get people encouraged to come see him. And yeah, that's a big part of it.
And so you're using this to help market the police department and maybe fill the ranks with some local people.
You know, it's not super focused on that. It's more focused on letting the community know that we're their partner, and we want this whole community to succeed as a team, and that, you know, the police department is a team member. That's why we're covering the costs of bringing Paul here, so that people can hear that message. Yeah, we're selling tickets at a very minimal cost, but all of those proceeds are going to the Special Olympics, another partner of ours, so that we can kind of pay it forward and pass along good in our community.
So this was your and Captain Warner's idea.
I would not say that I was the brainchild of this. I would say it was Chief Dupuy and Captain Werner and Rick Sweet. But I'm happy to help them with whatever.
So basically, is their idea and you're the production manager of this?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why you're upper management, Chief.
That's why I gave her the title of Community Outreach Specialist.
Public Information Officer. Community Outreach Specialist. It's a good title. Very good. You have an event like this. How many people are you looking at having, or do you know yet?
We don't know. I mean, the Herring Auditorium fits 1,200, but, you know, when we tell people that kids are, or that youth are free and we encourage youth to come, they're not necessarily picking up tickets, so we don't have an accurate number. We've sold over 100 tickets, and we've given out probably 60 or 70 more. But, again, we're hoping that more people will hear the word this week and get tickets and come. And again, the message that Paul has about leadership and teamwork, even within your home, is really important for our youth to hear. And that's why I'm telling folks, bring your teenagers. I'm bringing my teenager. Several of us at the department, we're bringing our kids so that they can hear that and hopefully be a little bit encouraged and get those little seeds planted in their head of, I can help out in my family this way, and I'm not going to be that toxic team member. And I can help out at work and in my classroom. So, or in my sports team, that's another big one too.
Yeah, you always have that one person, and it seems like that you have to reconcile with, be it a toxic personality, the David Downer person, or whatever you want to call it, that. Just does not have a good attitude, no matter what you do. And
And one of the things that Butler talked about in the training that we went to was identifying that person within your team or within your business. And sometimes we've heard that people identified themselves as that person after hearing him. And so that's kind of a pretty amazing thing that you can look within from what he's telling you and think, oh man, maybe I'm the toxic employee, or maybe I'm not bringing all I can to this team or being appreciative to others.
Chief, how many different, let's look at the City of Fairbanks Police Department. You have detectives, you have your patrol officers, and how many patrol officers do you have right now? And we're trying to expand that.
Right now, I believe we're at 16 patrol officers.
Okay. And you have investigations. How many people are in investigations?
We have 3.5 detectives right now. We have one retired detective that's back working part-time for us for a short period of time.
And you just brought back a patrol officer for this downtown Fairbanks.
We did, yes.
And that person's name again is?
Dave Elzey.
And he had done that for a number of years.
He did it for several years before he retired and moved away. And we were fortunate enough to get him to come back and work downtown for us.
And we put an emphasis on the downtown area this year, the core. Last year it was a little bit unique at times. And so Golden Heart Plaza, he's down there a lot. A lot of people are down there a lot now. We have Public Works down there. Chief of Staff is down there. You're down there just paying attention to that. That way your core business area is just a safer, better environment to be in.
Yes, Deputy Chief, I think, is down there right now.
I'm down there every morning with me and the Dalmatian, just making sure everyone's fine and no campers, so to speak, and getting that through. Then you have, your investigations. And you also have your different support staff there. You have your
data management,
evidence, outreach. How many people are with the department right now?
Oh, wow. Well, we have, 29 sworn positions right now. We have the community outreach, PIO, admin assistant. So that's 31. Two in evidence, 33, and then two in DMT.
Okay, so about 35 right now, and you should have about 50-ish right in there.
Yes, sir.
So we're recruiting. Give Teal a call. Teal, how do they get in touch with you?
That's true. Actually, if people want to email fpdrecruit@fairbanks.us, I can give them info on any jobs that they're interested in that we have open.
What's the process for becoming a police officer?
Right now, the first thing that people do is they go on to publicsafety.com or publicsafetytesting.com, find us on there, and take the written exam. And then once they pass the written exam, we get in contact with them and ask them to fill out some background paperwork. They take a physical ability test, and then if everything looks good, if their background looks good, then we ask them to come in for an interview, and then we kind of go from there. They go onto oral boards, and then, of course, there's a lie detector, a psych exam, and a physical exam to make sure that they're well enough to do the job. So it's kind of an extensive process, but, one of the things that we're proud at Fairbanks Police Department is we have not lowered our standards mm-hmm. like you have seen in some places in the lower 48.
We had a big discussion about that when I was on the city council. And if you lower the standards, you're going to have more problems within and for the city of Fairbanks, the residents. If you keep the same standards high, you're going to have more recruiting problems, but you're keeping the problems out. As Paul said, you're keeping the core team there. So... just a thought.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps keep higher quality applicants when we have a rigorous background process.
Hmm. How long does the process usually take with everything this is brought us through? About, you know, 4 months, 5 months?
It can kind of depend. Sometimes people are really slow about turning their paperwork in and getting back to us. So, you know, sometimes the applicant can drive how fast it is. We also, depending on when the next academy starts, if they're a recruit police officer, we can ask our background investigator to fast track a background, move it to the front of his pile, and he's usually really accommodating about that. So it can be fairly quick when we need it to be, but it can range anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 months.
And Chief, they have an academy here in Fairbanks, don't they?
We did. They just started the academy back up. They just graduated, actually, I believe a week ago. I believe there's another academy set for the fall.
So they don't have to go down to Sitka for 6 months anymore?
They don't. No, it's Sitka's 18 weeks. And they offer that twice a year as well. And I believe the goal is for the university to offer two academies a year here as well.
Now, it was interesting, you know, you introduced me to Captain Spicer?
Spitzer.
Spitzer. Yes. And he was your roommate at the academy.
He was, yes.
What a combo. You're both chiefs, or, you know, he runs the interior of the troopers, and you're Fairbanks Police Department. Is there anyone out at North Pole that you were roommate with?
No, actually, Chief Dutra out at North Pole was a TAC officer, so he was there instructing us when we were at the academy.
It's a small but good fraternity. So, my goodness. It gets interesting when you have roommates and that you bonded with, and now you're in separate organizations that can give each other a hand.
Yes, it's very easy to reach out and talk, not just with Chiefs or Captain Spitzer, but, you know, Chief Dutra out in North Pole and the other local area law enforcement.
Let's go back to next Tuesday. Teal, what's next Tuesday?
So Paul Butler's coming for a great leadership presentation, motivational speech. It'll be at 5:30 at the Herring Auditorium. If you come early, you can grab a bite to eat at Jams Jelly and Things. Their food truck is going to be out front. And it's going to be just a really great message that people will love to hear. So really hope that a lot of community members can come. And again, tickets are available on Eventbrite. Youth tickets are free. Bring your teenagers. It's good for them.
It's an opportunity for growth and learning here in Fairbanks. And I hope a few people who are listening take advantage of that, because this is an opportunity. You have a world-renowned speaker, because he's even goes outside the U.S. now, does 100 to 120 public events a year, and you brought him up, Chief and Teal. So congratulations and thank you. Chief, we got about a minute left. How do you want to end it, sir?
Well, I just thank everybody for their support and come on out to Paul Butler. He's got a great message, especially for, you know, kids as a parent. You know, kids don't always listen to us, but maybe they'll listen to Paul.
When I was about 14 years old, the aliens invaded my body. I thought I knew everything. My dad, I didn't think he knew anything about it. When I was about 23 years old, the aliens left my body, and my dad welcomed me back. So, parents, bring your kids down, and maybe some of the aliens will be put at bay. Teal, how do you want to finish?
Same as Chief. I thank the community members that support the police department. We really appreciate that. They don't get near as much recognition as they deserve, and they need it right now.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Teal, for being on here. Fairbanks, that's our show for today. Tomorrow, I will have Nick Nugent in the show here with me, a little bit of history, and we're going to do the second half of the War and the Aleutians, and we will see you tomorrow.
News and conversation. KFA.